Hi, everybody. This is Sharon Odom from Cosmetic Surgery Today, and welcome to another episode of our continuing series, Inside Cosmetic Surgery. Our special guest today is Dr. Mark Berman, a board-certified cosmetic surgeon from Beverly Hills, California. Hi, Dr. Berman. How are you?
Good, Sharon. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Well, thank you for joining us today to discuss the use of stem cell therapy in cosmetic surgery, which I'd never heard of. So, first of all, what are stem cells? Because we usually think of them as related to babies and embryonic stem cells, that sort of thing. So what are they in adults?
Yeah, stem cells are the popular name for medicine advancement today. You know, you hear anything with stem cells and you go, oh, I've got to get that. I've got to find out what it is. And you're right. Everybody thinks of stem cells in terms of embryos. But actually, a stem cell is any cell that can replicate or differentiate, in other words, change into another body part. And so most people don't realize this, but within our body, we have stem cells. When we're very young, we have them for all our organs, and they tend to deplete with time. But for example, your bone marrow produces stem cells, and these cells can be used to help repair different parts of your body, particularly the structural parts like the bone and the muscle and the cartilage and the parts that hold us up. And it turns out your fat is loaded with stem cells as well. You know what? It's something that happens to be our dumb luck. You know, we've been doing liposuction for years and trying to figure out, you know, how to use fat to reconstruct different parts of the body, you know, improve age, facial aging, use it for breast augmentation, and so on. One of the problems is some people don't have enough fat, so we investigated, you know, how can you grow fat? And indeed, you can grow a lot of fat. You know, you can take it outside the body and in the laboratory grow a whole jar of it. But if you try to transplant it, it won't work because it's missing an important part, and that's the stem cell. So your fat is made up of two prominent cells, the adipocyte and the pre-adipocyte. The pre-adipocyte is actually a stem cell. So in fat, when fat cells die, the pre-adipocytes grow and replace the fat cells that are dying or injured. But if you take those pre-adipocytes outside of fat, then they're almost the same as, and essentially the same as a bone marrow stem cell, what we call a mesenchymal stem cell. So these cells can actually turn into bone, cartilage, muscle, nerve, blood vessels, fat, and connective tissue. And so, and if you really want to get fancy, there's ways of taking these cells and reverting back towards an embryonic stage. So when they can turn into all these mesenchymal or mesodermal products, we call them multipotent. A embryonic stem cell, which can turn into any part of the body, is what we call pluripotent or totipotent. In other words, it can become any cell. But the fat stem cells can become all these, you know, kind of supportive tissues.
I see. So the embryonic cells are the ones that turn into whole body parts, and the adult stem cells, you actually find them and cultivate them somehow?
Well, there's different things you can do and different things you cannot do depending upon your position with the FDA. The fat stem cells, the stem cells derived from fat, could actually be cultured and grown into multiple numbers. There is some limitation to that right now because the FDA has pretty strict guidelines on what you can do with somebody's own cells. For example, if you take somebody's own cells, give it back to them during the same surgical setting with minimal manipulation, and you're not promoting the therapy, that is not regulated by the FDA and technically allowed. The FDA has set up regulations, however, so that if you're manipulating the cells, growing them in culture, or doing something to change the cells, then that might require or does require FDA approval. So there are issues that are, you know, highly politically charged right now as to what the FDA's boundaries are. Is that an FDA issue or is that the practice of medicine? And that's kind of a politically charged debate that's actually going on right now with the FDA and a couple companies around the country.
I see. So how have stem cells been used in therapy so far? I heard you mention bone marrow.
Well, for a number of years, there have been a number of organizations around the country, different medical groups that have been harvesting bone marrow and then taking the cells from bone marrow and culturing them, if you will, to increase the numbers. Typically, bone marrow can provide about 60,000 cells in a very good harvest, and then over a period of several days, you can grow that to maybe 2 or 3 million cells, and this is considered a reasonable amount for a therapeutic effect. And so these companies have been, or, you know, these groups of doctors, rather, have been injecting joints, arthritic joints, in certain problem areas to affect some positive changes. In fact, there's data around the world where these cells have been used for all kinds of conditions beyond just orthopedic ones, respiratory, for asthma, COPD. Actually, there's been testing done for different heart conditions and so on. It turns out that your fat has somewhere in the neighborhood of 500,000 stem cells per cc of fat. So from 25 cc's of fat, we can get anywhere from 10 to 30 million cells or more in a single isolation process. So instead of having to harvest the cells and culture them out for several days, within an hour and a half, we can give somebody back 20, 30 million cells from, you know, one 25 cc sample of their own fat. And outside of the U.S., there's a number of countries where this is commonly used. These fat-derived stem cells are huge in abundance and then can be used for all these different therapeutic uses. I think some of our athletes have recently been going to Germany and getting some of these treatments, as a matter of fact.
Interesting. So how are they used in cosmetic surgery?
Well, in cosmetic surgery, you know, one of the things that you have to understand is because of liposuction and discovering that we couldn't put fat back into the body unless it had the stem cells, people started looking at the stem cells. Plastic surgery, what's happened is the cells have been isolated from fat, and technically the cells aren't isolated as stem cells are isolated as what we call stromal vascular fraction. What that means is this is when you take the fat and then you separate out the fat from the other cells, what you're left is a soup that we call stromal vascular fraction that's loaded with stem cells, white blood cells, some growth factors, and endothelial cells. Those cells then are that soup or stromal vascular fraction, and those cells can be added back to harvested fat, to so-called fortified the fat cells, and then when you take those and put them back in the body, you get better retention rates of the grafted fat. There are a lot of there's a lot of evidence to suggest that the fat cells themselves don't even survive that well because of the lack of oxygen when you graft it back into the body. The fat cells may largely die, but that cell injury to the fat actually is a signal that turns on the stem cells that causes the stem cells to then replace the fat cells as well as create a neovascularization, if you will, but, you know, grow new blood supply. So it's a pretty remarkable process. It's very dynamic.
Right, because I've heard of doctors claiming to do stem cell facelifts. But so, what's really going on? Are they actually using stem cells, or, you know, things?
Yeah. Excuse me. I think it's kind of a marketing hype. You know, there's a lot of criticism, especially, you know, out of our academy. You remember, I'm the past president of the American Academy of Cosmetic Surgery, and, you know, a lot of our members are kind of concerned that, you know, we shouldn't be calling something a stem cell facelift, because it implies that you're just putting stem cells in a face and somehow that's making the face look younger.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
The truth is, while the stem cell is very important, you couldn't do a stem cell facelift without fat. So it's technically, you know, in the old days we just called it fat grafting. Then we made up all these names for the procedure. And I think, you know, fat grafting is like the name that most of us old guys keep saying because we've been doing it for so long. But the reality is, it is a stem cell fat graft, and you need the fat so that stem cells can signal and turn on and do what they're going to do. if you actually just injected stem cells or even stromal vascular fraction in a face, basically the most that would happen is the cells would recognize a little degeneration in the skin. It might improve the quality of the skin, but they're not going to grow new fat cells because there's no, you know, significant damage going on. So they need to see that cell injury in order to get turned on. And, you know, that's just the nature of the stem cell. The stem cell is a progenitor cell. It reacts to cell injury, inflammation, or degeneration. So those are the things that we're going to, you know, turn on the cell and get it to activate.
Right. So if someone just injected stem cells into the face, then that's not really going to help them much. So the whole stem cell facelift is really just sort of a buzzword, some hype going on there.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a, you know, it's a good marketing thing because everybody wants to have a stem cell facelift. That sounds really good, but it's really a fat graft procedure, you know, and the fat's loaded with stem cells. And if it wasn't loaded with stem cells, it wouldn't work.
Right. Now, how did you get involved in stem cell therapy?
Well, what happened to me is, first of all, I've been doing fat grafting since the late 80s. So I've always recognized that a face is three-dimensional. We needed to, you know, correct the face by adding volume back, and the volume that we're missing is fat. You know, our fat dies over time, and, you know, and we look older because of it. But in 2010, in the early part of the year, one of my colleagues, William Chen, tried to talk me into going to Japan and visiting Dr. Kamakura and Dr. Yoshimura, and who are both doing stem cell enhanced fat grafting. Dr. Kamakura was using the Saitori equipment, which is one of the leading companies in automated production of stromal vascular fraction or stem cells. And Dr. Yoshimura was using a piece of equipment that was pretty much the same as what I have, the LipoKit machine or the Ativiv that Palomar makes. And so I almost was reluctant about it, but I did go, and it was a very interesting experience. And I watched both these guys do breast augmentation with stem cell-enriched fat. The procedures, these took about 5 hours to do. And while I was watching these guys do all this work, I just kept thinking, God, this is such a waste of stem cells. You know, I can do a breast augmentation in 35 minutes. But I just thought, you know, these are great cells for therapeutic uses. And as far as I knew, there really weren't too many people, you know, using those cells in that regard. So when I came back home, I did more research, and I saw that there was a lot of uses outside of the U.S. for therapeutic, you know, stem cells. And I got involved with one of my local orthopedic surgeons. And because I'm a cosmetic surgeon, I could harvest and produce the SVF. But it didn't seem ethical for me to be the one just, you know, injecting people and doing it on my own. And I kind of wanted to put a team together.
Right.
So I started out real small and real simple. And local orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Tom Grogan, who happens to be a pretty conservative guy, reviewed the literature that I sent him. And he agreed to see a couple of my patients. So initially I sent him my nurse anesthetist who had a bad knee from a ski accident. And later on, it started with my wife, who had she's a runner and did several marathons and 6 miles a day, but it was starting to get painful hip that had been sore now for 3 years. And so I sent him her, and then my father had a knee injury. So I was digging up all these people who were close to me. And he, you know, kind of went along with it and said, okay, let's try this. And so I harvested the cells, and we injected them. He actually did the injection. In my wife's case, we did it with a radiologist so we could, you know, tap into the hip and see that we're in the right spot. And we injected the cells, and everybody got better, but not just better, like amazingly better. My wife's been pain-free for over a year. My dad's knee's much better. My nurse anesthetist is skiing again, and she can't believe it. So we kept kind of plowing away, and before long he was sending me patients. And then my associate that I work with, a urologist, Dr. Elliot Lander, got the brilliant idea that we needed to put a whole group together. And so we formed the California Stem Cell Treatment Center as a kind of privately funded investigational organization. So we would look at therapeutic uses for these adipose-derived cells. Along came Jackie C., who is a world-renowned interventional cardiologist, and he found me through, you know, some of the press and things that were written about me. And he and I met, and he had been sending patients to Germany for $80,000. They were getting stem cell treatments in Germany, and he felt what we were doing was even better. So he got in on it, and he became part of our group. And then we got involved with some interventional radiologists, and we've been setting up protocols for different treatments along that line. I mean, the whole thing has just grown as a multidisciplinary approach to looking at, you know, the use of adipose-derived cells for therapeutic uses. And so we're taking on patients and investigating different, you know, conditions. And right now we've treated over 100 patients, and most of them have been quite successful. There are certain areas that we haven't been terribly successful with, but other areas, especially orthopedic ones, are just phenomenal.
So in the cosmetic surgery realm, how has it been successful in that area?
Well, I continue to do a lot of facial rejuvenation. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's no doubt the best way to rejuvenate somebody's face is by treating them three-dimensionally. You know, my claim to fame was not being the first guy to do fat grafting, but I got up one day and said, hey, we misdiagnosed aging. You know, aging is not just gravity pulling the face down. There's a loss of volume. So as you lose that volume, and that volume loss is predominantly due to fat that metabolizes or dies over time, then the skin looks like it's sagging. So you need to put that volume back. So for me, the stem cell fat transfer, if you will, is the primary, you know, tool for rejuvenating a face. And doing a facelift or excisional blepharoplasty are complementary to that. And, you know, breast augmentation is still a real viable use. You know, it's a lot of work. Then you can harvest the fat, produce extra stem cells, fortify the fat, and use it to, you know, increase the breast at least a cup size or so. And there's some pretty good results, and they're fairly stable. So you can do it. You certainly can do that. And certainly, you know, it'd be good for different reconstructive uses. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's had an injury and has lost a fair amount of fat volume would benefit from this as well.
Right. Now, let me ask you, you said if it's used in breast augmentation, correct? Would that be instead of an implant?
You could use it instead of an implant. And you can use it in conjunction with an implant.
Okay. I see. Okay. Well, this has been really informative. Do you have any other information you'd like to tell our listeners about your practice? And
well, you know, we did put up a website that's called stemcellrevolution.com, and it's basically informative. We've tried to put a small library together that, you know, has a lot of articles that talks about some of the work that's being done. So there's a lot of neat research going on, but I'm telling you, it's so politically charged that Andy Grove, the former chairman from Intel, who now has Parkinson's, spoke about how the regulatory system is so heavy-handed that it's taking forever to get some of these therapies out to market. And so, you know, it's kind of interesting because we have this unique opportunity to use our cells now because we don't violate any rules or regulations. I'm sure the FDA, after hearing this interview, could find some, you know, argument with what I'm saying. But truly, you know, we're taking the person's cells and giving it back to them within an hour and a half. And the most we're doing to their cells is spinning them down in a centrifuge. And that's considered minimal manipulation. We're not adding any medication to the cells or anything. And the separation process is done with a medical-grade collagenase produced by Roche Laboratories. And the collagenase really just affects the collagen tissue, and we wash that out, and that doesn't affect the cells. We have a cell counter and ability to actually photograph our cells. We can show the patients what the everything looks like, and they can see what they're getting back. So, you know, it's a very interesting time. I think the key for us as cosmetic surgeons is to form these multidisciplinary groups so nobody can say, oh, you're just, you're a cosmetic surgeon and you're trying to do orthopedic and neurologic and urologic and all these other things. I think the key is working together. So.
Great, great. Well, as things progress, maybe we'll do a follow-up interview in the years to come and see how things have evolved over time.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, we put a protocol together for an institutional review board protocol to look at the safety factors. We don't want anybody to say, you know, this is unsafe. You know, people are concerned about safety the most. And we really believe that there's no significant risk. But if we study it with an institutional review board protocol, then we can validate that and we can just kind of keep moving on from there.
Great. Great. Well, thank you, Dr. Berman. This has been fascinating, and I really appreciate the time. I know you came out of surgery and probably are heading back in, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
And my pleasure, Sharon. I'll talk to you some more later.